Our little text for this evening that we want to speak upon, as we said this morning, we want to deal tonight with the subject of coming to Christ, and we want to base those remarks upon our text, which is really the last few words of this chapter that you find in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and the verse 45. It says right at the very end of that verse about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "And they came to him from every quarter." Now, our text here is at the end of a chapter that has a great display of Christ's healing power. You read in this chapter how the Lord healed a man who was possessed with the devil. We read also of how he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And surely that proves to us that Simon Peter was no bachelor pope, as is wrongly implied by the false system of Roman Catholicism. Also in this chapter, at the end of it, you read of the healing of the man with leprosy. And these examples of the healing power of God surely encourage God's people to pray for the sick. In the book of James, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." And the inference of that question is that we are to pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are ill. However, in such praying, God's people must always remember that there may be times when it may not be God's will to heal. You think of Paul the Apostle, the greatest servant of God ever known in the New Testament era. He had a thorn in the flesh, and God allowed this thorn in the flesh to come upon him, lest he be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations of Christ that he had received. He had prayed 3 times that God would take away that thorn in the flesh, but God did not take it away. However, God gave him an abundant answer. Indeed, the very theme of that answer, sister was singing about earlier on tonight, when the Lord came to Paul and he said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee." And if God does not take away that illness, then he will also give his people grace abundant, grace sufficient to bear the trial and to bear the burden. And here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, you will see that Christ's healing power had a tremendous effect among the people. Many were amazed. Look at verse 27 of the chapter. It says, "And they were all amazed." They were startled. They were taken up with this, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Many were amazed. The very fame of Christ began to spread abroad throughout the whole area of Galilee through his healing power. Look at verse 28 of the chapter. It says, "And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And as a result of this, multitudes began to seek after Christ." Look at verse 37 of the chapter. It says there, "And when they had found him," that's the disciples, "they said unto him, all men seek for thee." Yes, people were drawn to Christ. They were drawn to see his power at work. They were drawn to hear his word. And by our text tonight, it highlights for us the great interest that there was in Christ at this particular time. For it says here at the end of verse 45, our text for this evening, it says, "And they came to him from every quarter." And there you see that at this particular point in time, there was a wondrous attraction about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. "My multitudes were captivated by him." There you read of many coming unto Christ. And indeed, oh, that we would see those days again across our land, when multitudes would be taken up with Christ, captivated with Christ, drawn out after Christ in days of revival and days of our reformation. Tonight in our gospel service, it is these people who came to Christ that our text mentions and speaks of tonight that I want us to consider. If you're in the meeting tonight, your prayer is that even through what we would say, that this very night you would come to Christ. If you're a backslider tonight and once walked well with God, yet tonight you're afar from the Lord, our burden is also through this message that you will come back to the Lord afresh and know that restoring, quickening grace afresh in your heart. Know if you're saved and seeking to go on with God tonight, oh, that you'd be encouraged to press on out after Christ and to follow him day by day. Notice first of all then the place from which these people came from. It simply says, and they came to him. Notice it, from every quarter. And that tells us here are people and they came from different backgrounds. They came to the Lord from different walks of life. In this great gathering there would have been the rich and the poor. There would have been the old and the young. There would have been men and women. There would have been the learned and the unlearned. There would have been religious and those who were irreligious. There were those who were no doubt morally upright in society. Those who were very far down in the very depths of sin. Yet they came to him from every quarter. Some came from different places. Some came from different towns and different villages throughout the whole region of Galilee. Yes, these people who came to Christ at this particular time, they were no exclusive group or society. The verse says they came to him from every quarter. Surely whenever we think of the background and the place of these people who came to Christ at this particular time, surely it reminds us of the great gospel truth that all kinds of people can come to Christ for salvation. Indeed, do we not also here see the great truth that all mankind should come to Christ for salvation? As the hymn writer says, whosoever will may come. As you read through your Bible, you'll see from cover to cover how God gives many wonderful invitations to all kinds of sinners, to all types of sinners to come to Christ for salvation. You turn in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 55 and to the verse number 1. Here you have one of those great invitations. It's the invitation to the poor and needy to come to Christ and to feast upon Christ and His salvation. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat ye, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And there God's salvation is likened unto a great bounty that is available for those who will come to Christ without money, without price. In other words, the gospel is for the poor and the needy. Think also of that great invitation that Christ Himself gave in the Gospel of Matthew to those who are burdened down with sin and heavy laden with the burdens of life. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Think of that last invitation that you find in the Bible over in the book of the Revelation, and shows us how both Jew and Gentile alike are invited to come to Christ. It says there, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The word "whosoever" is all inclusive. Yes, why, even the very youngest are welcome to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Yes, those who are far down in the very depths of sin are welcome to come to Christ. Remember what Christ said in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." My, the Bible tells us even those who are lost in sin, they are welcome to come to Christ. For did not Christ say at the conversion of Zacchaeus, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Oh friend, tonight the truth of the gospel is this. Whoever you are in this gathering unsaved, whatever your background is, whatever your color, your creed or your class, you can come to Christ for salvation. My, you'll find a welcome in coming to Him. My, there might be certain places you might go tonight and you might not be welcome. There might be certain people you could go to visit tonight and they maybe wouldn't want to see you. But I tell you, that's not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text says tonight, "And they came to Him from every quarter." Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting, whoever you are, you can come to Christ tonight. For Christ said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Yes, we see the place from which these people came. But secondly, tonight I want you to see the person to whom this people came, says in this little text, and they came to him from every quarter, to him there as we know it. It means Jesus Christ. That's who has been spoken of here in this chapter. But let us ask ourselves the question tonight, who is this Jesus Christ? If you read through this chapter, you'll see that it tells you many wonderful things about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 of the chapter. Notice what it says there. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there you see right away at the opening part of this chapter that Jesus Christ is none other than the Son of God. He is God incarnate. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Who is Jesus Christ? He's a manifestation. He's the revelation of God Almighty, God our Creator. How do we get to know God? How do we see God? Through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's God incarnate. And being God incarnate, He is the sinless Son of God. He is without sin. Peter says that He is a lamb without blemish and without spot. And being the Son of God, He is almighty. The Apostle John says, all things were made by Him. And you see His mighty power at work in this great chapter. And by being the Son of God, He is the source of all life. Again, John says, in Him was life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's the Son of God. Notice something else there from verse 1. You'll see that He's the Savior of sinners. For He's called there Jesus. It says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? It simply means Savior. That's what the word Jesus means. Remember what the angel said to Joseph? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He came to save sinners from the ruin of their sin, to save sinners from the penalty of their sin. And this He did by a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says He died for us, the just, for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And by that sacrifice, that atoning death on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, He satisfied God's justice. And He purchased salvation for you and for me. He says in His word, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the Savior of sinners. He's the Son of God. Notice something else there from verse 1. He is the only Savior of sinners. Notice there how He's called Christ. It says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The name Christ means the Anointed One. In other words, the Chosen One. The One whom God the Father has chosen to be the Savior of sinners. God the Father chose no one else but His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer says there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And those words are true. Remember what Peter said of Christ as he spoke to the Jews. He said of Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. He is the only Savior. Over in the book of Isaiah, he says, there is none beside me. There is none else. Why, there's no salvation in the church, be it this church or any other church. Why, there's no salvation in man's works, no matter how good his works might be. There is no salvation in our self-righteousness. There is no salvation in all the money and all the wealth of this world. There's no salvation in anything of this world. Salvation is only in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of sinners. He is the only Savior. This was the one to whom they came. But notice something else. He is the one who is Lord of all. Go down to verse 3 of the chapter. And there Mark is speaking to us about the ministry of John the Baptist. prior to Christ's coming. And he says in verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. The word Lord there means master. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one whom all men must bow to. He is the one that all men must submit to. You turn in your Bible over to Philippians chapter 2 and you'll see how Paul speaks of this very fact. And verses 10 and 11 of that great chapter, he speaks of the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 2 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. In heaven, Christ is known as Lord. Notice what else Paul goes on to say, and things in earth. And there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back again and every knee on earth will bow to him as Lord. Notice what else Paul says there. And things under the earth, even all the demons of hell, will one day have to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord indeed. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to glory of God the Father. My, he is the one who is Lord. Dear friend, let me say to you tonight, this is the person you must come to for salvation from sin. My, you must come to him who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to him who is the Son of God, who is the Savior of sinners, who is the only Savior of sinners. You must come to him who is Lord of all. My, how should you come? My, in coming to Christ for salvation, you must come earnestly. For look at how that leper came to Christ in verse 40. He came earnestly. Notice what it says about him there in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him. Notice those words, beseeching him. This leper was earnest. This leper, he earnestly felt his need of Christ at that time. Then to be saved as a lost sinner, you must earnestly feel your need of Christ as Savior. Friend, have you a felt need of Christ as your Savior tonight? Are you like the old publican who said, God be merciful to me, a sinner? He was earnest about his salvation. You must come earnestly to the Lord. You must come humbly to the Lord. Look again at how that leper came to Christ. Look at verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. It says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him. Notice what it says. And kneeling down to him, he bowed before the Lord. He kneeled. He came humbly into the Lord's presence. We're just into the new year. A few days ago in your news or in the paper, you read of the Queen's New Year's Honours List. Some people on that list have been knighted by our Queen. And whenever they go to receive that knighthood, they must bow before Her Majesty. They must bow before the Queen. And she knights them as a knight of the realm. And just as that person must bow before the Queen of Great Britain, my friend, if you're to be saved, you must bow before the Lord. You must humble your heart in the presence of God and confess your need as a lost sinner before Almighty God. You see, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Tell me, friend, tonight, man, woman, young person, boy or girl unsaved, let me ask, are you willing tonight to confess your sins to the Lord? Are you willing tonight to say to the Lord, as Isaiah said, woe is me, I am a man undone, a man of unclean lips. Coming to the Lord, you must be earnest. You must humble your heart. In coming to Christ, you must trust him. That's how it was with this leper again. But look at verse 40. Notice what he says at the end of verse 40 to Christ. And you see his faith in the Lord, for he speaks to the Lord and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was trusting the Lord to help him, to save him, to deliver him. When you're ill and go to the doctor, you trust the doctor to help you. When you have a toothache and you go to the dentist, you trust the dentist to help you. Friend, to be saved, you must trust Christ to be your Savior. You must rest upon His finished work alone for your salvation. You must rest upon His blood alone for the salvation of your soul. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You must trust in Christ and what He's done upon the cross for salvation. The old jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And let me ask you tonight, are you willing to trust the Lord? This same Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He's the one you must trust in for your salvation. Yes, the person to whom this people came. May we see the place from which they came from. But notice finally tonight the purpose for which this people came to Christ. In this chapter we see how some came to Him for healing. Look at verse 32 and verse 34. It says, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Verse 34. And He healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew Him. There were those who came to Him for healing at this time. Also, no doubt at this time there were some and they came to Him for some temporal gain. Like those that Jesus speaks of over in the Gospel of John. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 6. There you read of a certain group of people who came to Christ for some material gain. This was just after the feeding of the 5,000, and they were looking for some temporal gain from Christ, and the Lord rebuked them in verse 26 of John chapter 6. It says, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And they had come, or they had followed after Christ for some temporal gain. Sadly, there are many that got in the world today. They're taken up with a false gospel. It's called a wealth gospel. Might they have a professed interest in Christ that they may gain some temporal or material a blessing from God. Oh friend, I hope this is not the reason for your professed interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Yes, there were some here who came for healing. Some who came for some temporal or material gain. But then there were those also, and they had a genuine, saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their chief concern in coming to Christ was the forgiveness of their sins, the salvation of their souls. That's how it was with the man sick of the palsy. For notice what the Lord says to him in verse 5 of Mark chapter 2. It says, and when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh friend, I trust tonight that this will be your motive in coming to Christ as well for the forgiveness of your sins. For unless you come to Christ for salvation, unless you are willing to trust Him as Savior, you will never know the forgiveness of your sins. What does Jesus say to those who do not trust Him? He says, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. My, if you're not willing to trust Him as Savior, you will never know a place in God's heaven. For Jesus says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You think of a cork, how it keeps water and air out of a bottle. So dear friend, your unbelief in Christ the Savior, what will it do? I tell you this, it will keep your soul out of heaven. For the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You turn in your Bible over to Revelation chapter 21. And look at what you read there in that verse, Revelation chapter 21 and the verse number 8 about those who are in hell, about those who will not be in God's heaven. And look at what is said in Revelation 21 verse 8. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What a list. But what is at the head of that list? Those who will not be in God's heaven. It is the fearful. And it says, the unbelieving, those who will not trust Christ. What's the worst of all sins? It's the sin of unbelief. The sin of not trusting Christ and not accepting Him as Savior. What does it say about this great multitude at the end of Mark chapter 1? It says they came to Him from every quarter. It's very interesting to note that this people here in our text, they came to Christ when they had an opportunity to do so. This was their time. This was their season of opportunity. This was their moment. Friend, tonight is the first Sunday evening of 2013, and this is another opportunity that God has given you to come to Christ for salvation. God has spared you throughout 2012. You think back to last year, there were some people in this town, in this community. They began here on time in 2012, but they're no longer here with us. Their seat is empty. But this is not so with you. God has brought you through 2012. He's brought you in to 2013. He's brought you to this very night, why? To give you another opportunity to trust in Christ, to be saved, to get right with God. I would urge you tonight not to neglect this opportunity. Don't turn away. For if you do, your heart may harden in your sin. The Lord says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you turn away, God may stop speaking to you. And God, I tell you, stop speaking to people. For He says in His Word, my spirit shall not always strive with man. My, if you turn away and don't accept Him as Savior, death may come upon you. And when death comes upon you, all hope of salvation will be lost and will be gone forever. The Bible says, he that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Years ago, there was once a young sailor, and he was witnessed to by his captain. His captain was a Christian. He was a godly man, and he witnessed to that young sailor about being saved, about his need of Christ. The young sailor replied, sir, Christmas will soon be here. You have my promise. After that, his intimation was that after the Christmas season, he would be saved. He would get right with God. 10 minutes later, after he said those words, that sailor was swept overboard. And he was drowned at sea. Death for him was just around the corner. And he didn't know it. And he died in his sin. He died without a testimony to the Lord's saving grace in his soul. Unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, death could just be round the corner for you. It could just be around the corner for any one of us in this meeting. David says there is but a step between me and death. I say to you tonight, and this is the first Sabbath evening of 2013, in the light of the certainty of death, in the light of the suddenness of death, I urge you to come to Christ for salvation. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I urge you to follow the example of those of whom our text speaks of tonight. It says, and they came to Him from every quarter. You know, in this great multitude, there will be those that will be in heaven that we'll meet with. We don't know their names. But they didn't waste the day of opportunity. They didn't waste the day of grace. Friend, I urge you to follow their example. This is here for an example for you to follow. Come you this night to Christ. Own Him and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Know the wonderful joy of all your sins forgiven. Know what it is for you to be saved. And for you to be ready for God's heaven. It says, and He came to Him from every quarter. Oh, that it might be said of you tonight in this meeting that you came to Christ on the first Sabbath evening of 2013 in Market Hill. May God bless you and God help you to come. Let us